So he sounds like it's a pretty complicated case, but maybe you could talk a little bit. I'm kind of curious how you approach the sequencing of TAS-102 and regorafenib in your own practice. What kind of patients, what might you start one on as opposed to the other? Do most people end up getting both?
Well, I think that many people can get both. Some people will progress on the first one and won't make it to the second one, so that's obviously the question. First of all, we have some data because the TAS approval was later, so we have some data from the pivotal trial for TAS-102 versus placebo that the patients who had gotten regorafenib, and that was about 17% of the patients, did just as well as the people who hadn't got regorafenib. So that's the one hard datum we have in this discussion. I think after that, it's kind of more what you believe about what the patient's tolerance is going to be, because in both those studies of the drug versus placebo, it appears that the benefit in terms of improvement in PFS and response rate is really fairly comparable. And there are some patients with regorafenib who have gotten prolonged remissions or stable disease with it. We see patients who have lung cavitation that shows that it's really working as well. So I think that there is a real benefit to both drugs. And for me personally, I think that the patient who's gotten a lot of fluoropyrimidines up to now, sometimes it's good to try a little bit different strategies. And I would tend to use regorafenib, especially if I'm not worried about their compliance and their ability to, if they're going to have some hand-foot syndrome, that they can take care of themselves. If they seem like that will be a problem for them, then the TAS is pretty user-friendly, where the main thing is that if they don't get treated on week 4, they'll get treated on week 5.